Hebrews 11. If you'd open your Bibles there. We'll read there in just a moment. Hebrews 11. Verse 13. Let me say before we begin our lesson this evening how much I appreciate being here. The invitation to come and work with you all this week in this gospel effort. You've been very encouraging. I hope that the things that have been done on my part have encouraged you as we continue in life, as we travel this life to a better place. And this has been an uplifting week for me. And thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of it. It's been good to be in the home of the Westbrooks. Dennis and I go back a long ways to our college days, and we've been in touch with each other throughout the years from time to time, from singing school, and to be with Mike and Nancy this week has been good. We go back a long ways too, having families that have known each other, and then so many others that are here as well. Dave Boyd has been in touch with me a lot through the past several months, and appreciate his efforts as well. And just being around with so many people that I've been with through the years, through our singing school in Oklahoma. And we just have enjoyed our times together. But now being here with all of you, meeting you for the first time, it just makes me that much more grateful that I'm in the family of God. Because I believe that when you look at this, what we've got, we're in the greatest family on earth, the family of God. You can be closer to people in God's family than you are in your own physical family, because we share in something that's wonderful. We have a common bond with one another. But thank you so much for having me in your homes. I have been fed well. I'm always fed well. It seems like everywhere we go. I would have liked to have had Vicky with me on this trip, but as most of you know, she's been there close by as our youngest daughter is expecting her second child. And so we felt like that was the thing to do, was to let her stay there. Still nothing has happened. We're still waiting. You know, these things happen in God's time, don't they? And so we have no control over that. As we begin reading in Hebrews 11, I also have it up on the screen or up on the wall for you to see it as well. If you want to look up there, that's fine, or just from your Bibles, just follow along as I read Hebrews 11, starting with verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Most people are interested in traveling, going to places, going to different places for the first time. It's something you can look forward to doing. Maybe going to another country, seeing new things. But faithful children of God must look at the journey that we're on today as a journey into another world. I want you to notice again as we read from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is dealing with people that were faithful men and women of God. You'll notice that these all died in faith. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In verse 16, now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country, for God had prepared a city for them. On earth, each one of us is a traveler. As Christians, we need to look at it this way, that we don't, as it was said a while ago in the prayer, that we not get comfortable with this world because we long for a better place. We are pilgrims traveling through this land. I'd like for you to join in with a little medley I've put together here for us to sing it together. Here we are, but straying pilgrims, and this world is not my home. As we sang a few moments ago, we won't sing the entire song, but just a little bit, as I call it, a medley about going home.
Here we are, but straying pilgrims here. Our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
This journey that we're on into the next world is a certainty. It's definite. There's no ifs, maybes. It is something that's going to happen as we journey into the next world. Many trips are planned, and we follow through with them. Sometimes we take trips, or we are planning a trip, and we have to postpone it or maybe cancel altogether. But this is a trip that is definite. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. In James 4, verse 14, the Bible says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We seem to think that when we're younger, that we're going to live for a long, long time. But as we get older, we look back and we think, where did the time go? Time has just flown. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the psalmist says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." David said in Psalm 55, verse 6, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." We usually like to take someone with us, don't we? Traveling up here the other day by myself, I would have liked to have had my wife right there with me traveling up here. We were gone recently on a trip to Virginia and North Carolina. I'm glad that she was with me on that, and we like to do that. We like to take someone with us, but on this trip, as we leave this world, we must travel alone. I'm thankful, though, as we're traveling now through life, that we have each other as Christians to encourage one another, to encourage us on this journey that we're on. But when we leave this life, we go alone. We return from most trips. Lord willing, I'm planning on returning back home tomorrow to be reunited with my wife and our children and grandchildren. But we don't return from this trip. There's no return. In Job 16, verse 22, "For when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return." David said, following the death of his son, 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Some of you here know just how close that my father and I were to each other. Some of you that were with us every year for a number of years together, as close as two people could possibly be, my dad and me. And when he left this earth 3 years ago, I lost one of my best friends. I know he went and has gone on to a better place than this life, this world. I wouldn't want him. I want to be with him, but I wouldn't want him to come back. He wouldn't want to come back to this earth, to this world. He's in a place that he longed to go. I've told people, I said, he wrote songs more toward the end of his life that were dealing with going home. Someone said to me in a meeting he and I did together about 5 years ago, we were doing this meeting together where I preached one night and he led the singing. The next night he preached, I led the singing. We alternated all through the week. And what a great memory I have of the two of us doing a gospel meeting together. We did it twice. We got to the end of the week, a lady came up to me and said to me as she was going out the door on Friday night, she said, you know, Brother Stevens, I really enjoyed your lessons. They were very well organized, but I really believe that your father has it over you. I was just, it's like she lifted me up and boom, she slammed me down. And I just thought, how can anyone say that to any person? And I guess she realized, and I tried to come back and said, ma'am, he and I are not in competition. There's no one that's more supportive of what I'm doing and preaching than my father. And I'm the same way toward him, and we're not competing with one another. She said, that's not really what I meant, and I'm sorry. Well, now it's too late to say that. No, it wasn't. She said, no, there's something in your dad's voice. There's a pleading in his voice of trying to encourage people to go home. And he's saying it as if it's coming near for him. And she was right. He was just 2 or 3 years away from leaving this life. But there was a pleading in his voice trying to encourage people to go, let's go home. Let's go and be with the Father, our Heavenly Father. And so I look forward to one day knowing that he can't return to me, but I can sure go to him. I can go and be in heaven with God and with his son and with all the faithful of the past and among those that we've known. And I cannot wait to be reunited one day with him and so many others. Like any journey, you got to prepare for it. Preparation is needed. I had to prepare for this meeting like I would any meeting that I'm going to conduct, getting the lessons together. Getting my clothing together, just a number of things. You did a lot of preparation for this week as well, but I had to think about too, what should I be carrying with me? Should I carry my flannel pajamas? I'm going up into an area that's going to be a little colder, which I haven't had to use this week, which is good. But I thought about those things. I brought them with me, so I did all this preparation. But when you go on a trip, like you're going on a vacation, many of us used to go to AAA. And we would gather up all this information about where we're going. And we want to know where can we stay. And what sites can we go visit. And what about restaurants. And you're thinking about other things like, okay, I need to have someone take care of the animals while I'm away. And I need to stop our mail delivery, and you're thinking all these things, and it may be that you're even thinking of this, and some brethren do. Where are we going to worship on our journey? A lot of preparation goes into that, and you wouldn't think of making a trip without it. But we must prepare for this trip due to the fact of this one thing, sin. Sin. In Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I believe those of you that are in God's family know that when I sin, our relationship with God is not what it should be. We are separated from him. Sin has done that from the very beginning, going back to Genesis, going back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Their sin separated them from God. And so we have got to be really concerned every day that we are in fellowship with God. And sin is something that gets in our way. It's terrible. I want you to notice in 1 John 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The Bible tells us to prepare. Amos 4, verse 12, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Prepare. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all, or the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. What else do we find? In John 14, verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I used to hear preachers in the past that would say that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It's prepared for those who are prepared. How prepared are we? Do we take this serious? Are we too comfortable in the world? And we're being distracted from thinking about the world beyond, life beyond, eternity with God. Is it getting in our way? Yes, it is. To all of us. We have to be very careful of that. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. I would say that the majority of people who put alarm systems, security systems in their home, do it after they've been broken into. The majority of people. When it happens to you once, you think, now we're going to go get us a security system. And we're going to protect ourselves and protect our possessions. Because you know what can happen. When you're broken into, you don't expect it to happen to you. It happens to others. But when it happens to you, you never are prepared for it. You don't want that to happen. Sometimes people go out of the country, and it takes a little bit more that's involved in preparing when you go out of the country. The passport is very important. The passport is very important. My wife and I got a passport back in around 2008. Because we were taking a trip out of the country. But back in 2010, her parents wanted to take her and her two sisters to Europe. And I told her, I said, you know what? Your passport is expired. It's only good for 10 years. So you're going to have to go get you renewed that passport. Because you won't be able to go on this trip without doing it. And so we made the preparation. We went and took care of that. And there's a lot of planning that went into that. The passport, the bag limit, you got to be careful you don't carry it. And that's true even in our own flights in our own country. But there's a bag limit. There's the weight limit as far as what you can put in your bag. And if you're planning on bringing things back with you, you better take that into consideration. And there's one thing, though, that they really were going to need on this trip was a guide. Now, when I found out that they were going to go to 10 countries in 21 days, when they told me that they were going to sightsee 10 countries in 21 days, I thought, you know what? I'm glad that I'm not going. Because it ended up being a marathon. Matter of fact, even the guide even told them, you all think you're on vacation? Forget it. We've got 10 countries to see in 21 days, and we're going to see them. And so whether you want to or not, we're on a mission here. And she said it was like up early in the morning, putting our bags out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was cracking a whip the whole way. And I said, I'm glad I wasn't with you. But she said, well, it was a good thing we had a guide because we wouldn't have known where to go. Folks, let me just say this. The journey into the next world, guidance is necessary. It's required. You think about it. There's no way that I could find heaven alone. You and I are unable to find the way to heaven alone. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. In Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. So what does that tell us? Man needs help. We need help to make our way to an eternal home. In Proverbs 3, in verse 5 through 8, I love this passage. It's one of my wife's favorite. I've seen this even stuck on our mirror at home. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Folks, we are guided by God in his word. By God in his word. It's our roadmap. Our roadmap. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's our map. It's our roadmap. And you know what? We have to study it like you would any map. Why? To know where you are and where you're headed. Just traveling recently down the interstate and stopping in a rest area in an area where you're not familiar, like we weren't familiar with Virginia and North Carolina. And there were times when we would stop at a rest area and I would look on the map that you'll find at every rest stop. And I knew where we were going, but I didn't really know where we were. But I can guarantee you on any of those maps, they'll say, you are here. You go to the mall, same thing. I get lost in a mall. And I have to go over to a directory and look up there and say, where am I? How can I get out of here? And I'm in more hurry to get out of there than my wife is, obviously. But I find out on there, I look for those words, you are here. The Bible does the same thing. It tells us where we are and where we're headed. I want you to notice in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, what did Paul say? Study to show thyself approved unto God. The New King James says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans of old were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Isaiah 34, verse 16, Isaiah said, search from the book of the Lord. Look what I have underlined. And read. Search from the book of the Lord and read, and not one of these shall fail. Now here's what I want us to do now. I want you to look up Acts 8. Begin with verse 26. And let's read. Just follow along as I read this. One time out in California in a meeting, I said, y'all just read along with me. Well, all of a sudden I began to hear something going on out there in the audience, and they were reading with me. But you can if you want to, but don't do it very loud, okay? But just follow along as I read this from Acts 8. Starting with verse 26. I found this interesting. It was Isaiah who said that. Search in the book of the Lord and read. Starting with verse 26 of Acts 8. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And so he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading. What was he reading? Isaiah. Interesting, isn't it? We just got through reading from Isaiah. He said, search from the book and read. And that's what this fellow was doing, reading Isaiah, the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone, now listen, guides me. You know what we're talking about right now? The only way we're going to be able to get to the next world is being guided by what? By the Word of God. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. His humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch did not know where he was unless someone guided him. And all Philip did was, he didn't tell him, well, here's what I think. He said, let me tell you what you're reading. You're reading from the prophet Isaiah. And what you're reading is about a man making reference to a man named Jesus as a lamb led before the slaughter. And so he found out through reading where he was. And obviously through the reading, the plan of salvation is given to him, and he obeys the gospel of Christ by being baptized into Christ. And I'm sure he knew now, I know what road I'm on. I'm not just on a road heading back home to Ethiopia, but now I'm on a journey that's even greater, that's even better, to a new country, to a new city, to a new home. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The eunuch is listed and is considered by all of us as we look at the conversions in the book of Acts. It's listed as one of the acts of conversion that took place. He was converted by the word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. God's word is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's all we need. We don't need anything else. We don't need the creeds of men. We don't need additional books to guide us. This is it. What we have right here. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It needs no updating. Most of you have a GPS on your phone, but it doesn't always take you where you want to go. I can't just say, oh, my GPS on my phone is 100% accurate, because I've ended up in places that was not what I put in my phone. And I remember when we had the GPS on the Garmin that we had plugged into our plug there in our car, that sometimes the lady, I think, got tired of saying, recalculating. And one time, she just stopped talking to us. And my wife said, I think we made her mad. And I said, I think we did. And you know what? About a year later, we were going down the road, and she started talking again. She got over it, I guess. But I said, you know what? That has really has not always been accurate. Hasn't taken us where we needed to go. I want to tell y'all something about this sermon I'm doing tonight. I found this sermon in a box underneath my father's desk. been under his desk for years. And I thought, well, I've got a lot of my dad's sermons, but I didn't know he had these in this box. I pulled the box out from the desk and opened it up, and I started looking. I said, these are not his sermons. They were my grandfather's. He preached this sermon back in the 1950s, 65 years ago. You know, the scriptures that I'm sharing with you tonight are the very same ones that he used 65 years ago? Nothing new here. God's word doesn't change. That's the beauty of this. It is to be able to share with you a sermon that was being used in gospel meetings back in the 50s. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16. Continue them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And here's what I like, is that Jesus offers to be our guide. Notice with me in your Bible, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, begin with verse 63. I have verse 63 on the wall behind me, but I'm going to continue reading down through verse 69. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Those are the words of Jesus, our guide. Verse 64, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, his apostles, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes, he has the words of eternal life. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Please join in the singing of Heavenly Sunlight. Go so. There's one way to get there. There's one way. This idea that there are many roads that lead to heaven, not so. There's one way, and it's through him, through Christ. Here's what Jesus said to Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through me. It is the way which leads to life, to eternal life in the next world. In Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Isn't that sad? Not many people are going to make it to heaven. According to what Jesus said, only a few are going to make it when they go beyond this life into the next world. The next world involves heaven and hell. And the majority of people in this world today are going to spend eternity in a place of doom, torment, hell. Do I like talking about that? Not a bit. I'm not comfortable with saying that. But Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to that, to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. So that's his words. He said it. And I'm saying it because he said it. That's from him. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 through 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Who was it that the Ethiopian eunuch was trying to understand what he was reading? Who was that about? The man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It's through obedience. You know what, folks? If you're headed in the wrong direction on the highway of life, God allows U-turns. Sometimes I'm tempted to make a U-turn out on our streets. And I'll ask my wife, I said, did you see a sign that says no U-turns? She said, no, I didn't. Said, okay, well, I'm going to make one. Because I know if I make one and I'm not supposed to make it, I'm going to get pulled over and receive a ticket for it. But sometimes we're going down the wrong road, we're going the wrong direction, and we have to turn around. Same thing is true in life. When you're headed the wrong way, God will say, come on, turn around. That's what repentance is all about. Turn around. Come back toward me. And there's only one right way to go. It's through obedience to Jesus Christ. He said in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Those are the words of Jesus, the one who died for you. Nobody else would die for you, but he did. He died for us all. In Galatians 3:27, the Bible says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into him, have put on Christ. That's the way he put him on, is through baptism. We reach his redemptive blood when we're baptized into Christ. So why not get in his way? Get into his way. I want you to notice, it's an upward way. Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal. Well, what did he say, I press toward the goal? I'm pressing toward a better life, a better home beyond this life. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. So it's an upward call. And one final thing. There's a reward at the end of the way. There's a reward waiting for us. You want that reward? It's available to all of us through obedience to Jesus Christ. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a moment, encouraging anyone in this audience to respond to Jesus, to his invitation. But I want to read this closing passage from 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, because this touches me every time I read it. When I consider that Paul was nearing the end of his life, sitting in a prison in Rome, any day about to be beheaded. And he came near the end of his life. He writes to his beloved Timothy, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Finally, that word right there gets to me. When Paul, after all that he had done in preaching Christ, after he had for years had been persecuting Christians and became a Christian himself and was proclaiming the message of Christ throughout and was being persecuted, was being stripped of his clothing and whipped at times and being having stones thrown at him for preaching Christ, he finally says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." It's available for all of us. When in the closing minutes of my father's life, I was able to sit by his bedside, and he was unable to speak to me because he was paralyzed, but he could understand. And I could hear him whisper to me, "Help me. Help me." I said, "Dad, you want me to pray?" "Yes. Yes." I think my dad was even saying, as Paul, it was finally. Finally, my life is coming to a close, to an end. As difficult as it was for him in those closing minutes, hours and minutes, I know there was a part of him that didn't want to go. But we kept saying, "Go, because we're right behind you. We'll be there with you one day." Folks, this is very important for us to remember this. We're on a journey into the next world. Are you ready? If you need to respond to the invitation of our Lord, come now while we stand and sing.
In just a moment, we're going to ask Brother Dennis Westbrook to dismiss us with a closing word.